When he said all the way to the top, who did you think he was? Who was the top?
I was thinking Bush. I didn't know whether it was just Jeb Bush or whether it went farther than that. From Feeney's conversation, he thought he was right with Bush.
Feeney said that he was right with Bush.
Right. Both George and Jeb, so.
Lemmy says to you, this corruption goes all the way to the top.
That's right. And all I have to do is wait a couple weeks and I'll be thrilled with the results.
So you waited a couple weeks.
And he turned up dead in a Georgia motel room.
United States of America. In 2004, November, 3,600,380 ballots were cast and never counted.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the latest edition of New World Out of Order, a podcast where we try to bring you up to date with a lot of the behind-the-scenes stories of what's really going on or what has gone on in the past and most likely will go on in the future until everyone becomes educated and aware and puts a stop to it. All right, this episode is going to be on election fraud. We're going to primarily center on the 2000 presidential election and the 2004 and maybe a little bit of the 2008 presidential elections. Those elections in various states of the country have been documented as a result of investigations that there was definitely substantial election fraud that occurred in several of those states, Florida being the most popular, the most known. And then followed by Ohio. Ohio was probably the largest, the most impactful as far as the number of altered or uncounted votes was probably in Ohio. That's 2004 elections there. So anyway, I'm not sure if people have heard much about this. The mainstream media has definitely quenched this subject. They have chosen not to report on it. We go back to the 2000 election. There's a great investigative reporter named Greg Palast that uncovered the election fraud in Florida in 2000. Now, one of the things that the media did as a distraction and a confusion tactic was they promoted the Hanging Chad story. And yes, there was an issue with the Hanging Chads, but it was a very minor issue, in reference to the whole story and the whole election. What they did is so when people would start talking about election fraud and, you know, what happened in Florida, you know, they've set the story that makes people automatically think that it's what they're talking about is the Hanging Chad situation, and that's not correct. You know, the real story was the purposeful altering of that election to ensure that that in this case Republicans won the state of Florida. Now, you know, first place I found out about this was in Greg Palast's book, which I'm going to refer to here a lot in the podcast. It's a great book. It's called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. I highly recommend everybody read this. And if you're kind of new into, you know, jumping into the truth about what's really going on and kind of jumping off the mainstream media bandwagon and really, doing like, you know, people like myself who are out here really uncovering, the true stories, trying to find out what's really going on, I recommend this book. This would be a great starter book, you know, to hopefully get you more motivated, get you turn you into a real activist, because this book will piss you off. Not only does it cover the election frauds, it also covers other subjects. For example, it talks about a lot of the intelligence investigations that were going on prior to 9/11 involving, you know, people that were subsequently involved in the 9/11 attacks, also investigations with the bin Laden family, not just Osama bin Laden, you know, prior to 9/11, and how these investigations were either altered or stopped. You know, they were commanded by the top levels of our intelligence groups to for the people to stop investigating them. Also, it goes into some of the background and the relationships of the Bush family with the bin Ladens and the Saudis, and also, you know, just some general history that you, I'm sure most people don't know about the Bushes. You know, this is talking about, you know, George Bush, H.W. Bush, and also Prescott Bush. There's a very, very interesting history there. You know, this information, it's like Greg Palast says. You know, he jokingly refers to the greatest journalist of all times, Yogi Berra. And of course, you know, Yogi was not a journalist. But anyway, he refers to a quote by him in saying that, you know, it's amazing what you find when you look. And, you know, really that sums it up with a lot of people in America, is that when people hear stories that like that I broadcast, they're in denial, and the problem is that it's just convincing people that, hey, the things that I'm talking about are not secretive. It's just I looked. Most people don't look. This information is out there. It's documented. It's official. It's, you know, the majority of the stuff that I talk about, I won't say everything, is really non-contested. So, and as far as the election fraud, the things that I'm going to talk about today are definitely fall in that category. They are official, they're non-contested, and you know, they're Mr. Palast has the documents and the evidence to back up all this. And I tell you what, he's a great investigative journalist. And personally, I kind of wonder how he's still in business. He's been doing this for so long, and I know the Washington people, you know, hate him. So I'm really, you know, surprised that he's actually actually hasn't been physically harmed, you know, because he uncovers some very, very volatile stories and paints the real picture here. So anyway, he's a good guy. He's American, but he used to broadcast back when he did these stories for BBC TV, and also he wrote for The Guardian, and it's primarily The Guardian. And, of course, those are both UK news organizations. And, of course, he broke the story of the 2000 election when he was writing for The Guardian. And he submitted, when they published the story, of course, all the American news services, they have access to the story. And they flat denied to even cover it, to comment on it, to expand upon it. Or anything. And of course, that should not be a surprise to you if you're, you know, really aware of who really owns the mainstream media. But there was a couple of smaller alternative news sources in the United States that did cover it. The main one being Salon.com. And if you're not familiar with Salon.com, there again, highly recommend these guys. They've been in business for a long time, probably 15 years at least. They're not a daily news source. They are they're investigative journalists, and they do a lot of great stuff in regards to politics and economics. They also do human interest stuff, and, you know, stuff covering education and health and just various things like that. So, but they're an investigative journalist outfit and not a daily news source, but they're really good. All right, so 2000 election, what happened? Well, just to kind of sum it up, we all know that there was questions about the vote count. There was a recount demanded by Al Gore. And in the end, George Bush won the state of Florida by 537 votes. Well, what Mr. Palast uncovered was the story behind the voter purge list in Florida. Now, the voter purge list is something that, as far as I know, every state produces. And what it is, it's they take all of their registered voters And supposedly they actually go and validate that everyone on the list is legal and has the right to vote in that state. And they, of course, they do this by comparing it to, you know, the information to verifying addresses, verifying criminal records and things like that. And in this particular case, there was, what I'm going to talk about is really primarily two lists. And there was one list of 8,000 names, which was produced by the state of Texas and provided to Florida, because what it was is it was supposedly 8,000 people that had identified as being relocated from Texas to Florida sometime after they had committed a felony. So in Florida, they were still to be identified as a felon, and perhaps, unless they had been granted clemency, would not be eligible to vote. Well, after Mr. Palast looked into this list and with help from other sources, you know, election agencies and independent groups as well, they determined that the list was approximately 92-93% false. In other words, the people on that list were eligible to vote in Florida. And he details exactly how they, some of the methods that they did. You know, a lot of the people on the list had never created any felon whatsoever. They might have created a misdemeanor. A lot of the people were actually documented on the list as committing a felon in future years. A couple of them were, their arrest date or their conviction dates were 2007. And of course, this was back in 1999 and the year 2000. So it's actually pretty comical how sloppy the people that were manipulating this, how really sloppy they were. So anyway, that was 8,000 voters right there. Now, the big thing here that everybody has to understand about this rigging was that, you have to understand what they were trying to do. And this was obviously coming from the Republican Party, because it was, I won't say it was spearheaded, but it was really, the altercation of the election was really controlled by the Governor Jeb Bush of Florida at the time and his Secretary of State, Catherine Harris. And I'm sure you remember that infamous name. So, and of course, these are, you know, big time Republicans, the Bush families, they're just, lifelong Republicans. But, and like I said, I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I'm not bashing one or the other. I'm bashing both of them, for people that, act like this and violate our Constitution. So what they were trying to do is, of course, get people to vote for Republican candidates or make it appear that they voted for Republican candidates. So what they did in these voter purge lists is they set out to modify the people from the demographic regions that normally vote Democrat. And, of course, that is usually non-white, or I guess a large majority of this is non-white and lower income, okay? So, and we say non-white, we're looking at blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, Asians, and then, like I say, lower incomes. So, the list of felons, typically those are lower income people, so that would most likely or have a greater likelihood of voting Democrat. So with that list of 8,000 people, that's they just purged 8,000 potential voters, for potential Democrat voters. Okay, now it gets even better. The other list, the real voter purge list, which was about 57,000 names. Now you put all the other little lists together that they had down there, and the number approaches 90,000. But we're really going to talk about the 57,000 list, which is the actual list that Mr. Palast received. He actually received some CDs from Catherine Harris's desk containing the purge lists and also containing the documents for the company that was supposed to produce and verify these purge lists. Now, let me go back and just mention that real quick. The company that they hired to do this was a company called Database Technologies. And the previous company that was responsible for producing the purge list in Florida, was they were fired sometime prior to the 2000 election. Now, they charged the state of Florida $5,700 to compile this list. And to me, that seems very, very reasonable. Well, like I said, they fired them. They sent it out for bids. And from what Mr. Palace uncovered, they granted the work to DBT, which turned out to be the highest bidder. And not only the highest bidder, they turned in a bid for $2.3 million. Now, you go from paying for $5,700 for a service to paying $2.3 million for a service, and they are the highest bidder by a large margin, and Florida gives them that. Now, not only did they grant them the bid, they actually paid them more. They actually paid them closer to $4 million for this work. And on top of that, they took the actual deliverables for the contract. You know, when they submit for bids, they actually put, they specify the actual deliverables and how the deliverables and any kind of procedures or specifications or anything that they're supposed to follow. They put that in the request for bid. Well, when they actually granted the contract, they actually reduced that list of deliverables. So not only did they pay them more than the bid, which it was an extreme excess of other bidders, they also reduced the amount of work that was required and expected. So I'm not sure how it works where you're at, but where I'm at, I don't get paid more for doing less. And that's suspicious right there. There's a lot of good background information that you can do on DBT. DBT was subsequently sold or bought out by ChoicePoint. ChoicePoint is probably the largest database listing company in the country as far as having detailed records on primarily American citizens, but probably other citizens as well. And they're used a lot by the government, used a lot by the FBI, and they're interesting. Definitely check out ChoicePoint. It's a company that should not be affiliated with our government whatsoever. We should not be using their services. There's definitely conflicts of interest in the between the management staff of ChoicePoint, what the services they do, and also conflict of interest with past management team members being in our federal political system as appointees or whatever. So anyway, now what they did is they were supposed to produce this purge list, and they were supposed to provide verification of the list. And the verification was going to be done by two ways. They were supposed to do actual telephone calls to the people and confirm the information that they have in the database about them. And they were also going to do a statistical analysis on the individual people. Well, they didn't do either one of them. Well, actually, they did do the statistical analysis, but they only had one statistician that was responsible for doing this, and the actual record keeping that was required was not done, and that part's very, very suspicious. But the telephone calls were not done. They did not do the verification of these lists, and as it turns out, 57,000 people on the list were actual eligible voters that were purged from the registry. 57,000 voters, and there again, these voters were primarily in the Democratic demographics. Okay, and just remember now, George Bush won the state of Florida by a total margin of 537 votes. Now we've got 57,000 voters that were purged from the registration list that were in the demographic region of possibly being voting for Al Gore. Now there again, possibly. But there again, all you have to use is just some statistics on that. You can actually generate a number, a very acceptable number of who would have, it would have been highly probable that, that this number would have voted for Gore. And they came up with, out of the 57,000, they came up with a number of 22,000. And there again, if you just use some very, very loose statistics and just say, okay, let's provide a margin of error there of like 50%, which is ludicrous. That still gives you 11,000 voters that you're assured or very, very sure would have voted for Al Gore. Well, there again, the margin was 537 votes. So as a result of that election, Florida, George Bush won the presidency. So, there was, and then of course this has continued. You know, this type of voter fraud has continued in the midterm election of 2002, and actually just really every election since then. The 2004 election was very interesting with the state of Ohio. Of course, Florida was rigged as well in 2004. The big one there was Ohio. There was in the 2004 election, Mr. Pallas uncovered, and there again, he details all this information. He states where he got the information, and it's. I think you'll be very impressed with his investigative skills and how he presents the information in his book. But in the 2004 presidential election, there was approximately, I think, 3.4 million votes that were cast that were not counted. And there again, that's the clip at the intro. That's actually Mr. Palast talking. He's speaking before a group of people and let them know. But and that includes, you know, all states. And the biggest ones in the 2004 election that have been spotlighted was the state of Florida, the state of Ohio, and the state of New Mexico. There again, it's not limited just to those states, but those were the ones that were just spotlighted as participating in election fraud. Well, you know, if you think that it's not going to happen in 2012, then I'm really going to question your intelligence, because you know it's going to happen in 2012. In fact, it's already happened in the Republican primaries. If you look at, and there again, you're not going to find this on mainstream media, but the very first primary was in Iowa. And if you haven't recognized, the winner broadcast to be Mitt Romney. Well, if you noticed since then, and there again, the mainstream media, not that I've seen, have not produced a story on this. But since the Iowa primary, they've changed the winner. The winner is now Rick Santorum. And from what we can tell, that's probably, well, as of this point right now, he's probably the winner. Now, there again, all the real votes haven't been counted yet. And what I'm talking about there is there's a group out there called WatchTheVote2012.com. And, you know, you just got to like what they're doing. They are monitoring the votes, and they are monitoring the counting process. Now, you know, in Iowa, they still have a paper trail. They still have some paper ballots there. In some states, one of them being South Carolina, there is no paper ballots at all in South Carolina. It is 100% electronic, and that system cannot be verified because we cannot. No one is allowed to look at the software to review the test results, the testing procedures of these machines. So that's something that has to be changed. You know, the public needs to be able to verify the vote. There needs to be a paper trail. And okay, we'll kind of go into that in a second as far as why it's that way and why we're actually moving in that direction. You know, all states are moving towards being 100% electronic voting. I used to think that was probably a good thing, but nope, that's not a good thing at all. So actually, one of the vote monitors for Watch the Vote 2012 in Iowa actually witnessed a discrepancy in his precinct that he was monitoring, and he spoke up about it. Went to the election board, talked about it. He was actually told to don't worry about it. That doesn't matter, whatever. But he pressed with it, the bottom line is he got people to look into it. He forced people to look into it, and as a result of the discrepancy that he found, the eventual winner of Iowa was actually changed. So, and there again, watch the vote2012.com. Go on their website. They actually haven't finished counting the votes yet. I'm not sure why they haven't updated it or finished counting all the votes yet. It's there again. It's highly suspicious that, or suspected that, Ron Paul actually either won Iowa or came in a very, very close second place in Iowa. So, but anyway, that's exactly what they're for, and there's no reason anyone should question or not like the activity that groups such as Watch the Vote 2012 are doing. They're just trying to ensure that the vote in the United States is done legally according to the Constitution and is verifiable. And that's it. So there's nothing wrong with that. And they're soliciting volunteers. If your state is a non 100% electronic voting state, then please volunteer. Be one of the people that witness the vote count in one of your precincts. And you can do that by going to the site and signing up for it. All right. Now, what happened after the 2000 election? Because of the rigging of the purge list and also the hanging chads, is Cynthia McKinney. She was a congresswoman from Georgia. She's not anymore. And let me just say something briefly about her. You know, Congress and the media likes to portray her as an angry black lady, and as an uninformed, uneducated, angry black lady. Well, and that's the way a lot of the American public perceive her now. That's not the case. She is, to me, she's a very smart person because of the questions that she asks. She's a very courageous person because of the questions that she asks and who she asks them to. And her term in Congress, buddy, she jacked up some big name players in Congress, you know. And actually, she called, when she got wind of the story of the 2000 elections, she called Greg Palast and told him that she wanted to see his evidence. And there again, she was a seated congressperson at the time. He flew back over here. They met. She went back to Washington, and she put together a congressional hearing to review this information. And essentially what came out of this was, in the hearing, the vice president of the DBT company at the time, he came forward and he admitted, no, we did not do the verifications, and we didn't do them because we were specifically asked not to do them by the state of Florida, by Catherine Harris. And he had the documents to produce that. He had the actual bid document where it said, it was crossed out and said, don't do this. And also another thing that came out of this, and this is unfortunate, was, you know, Cynthia McKinney, you know, they essentially demanded some legislation that would prevent this from happening. And what they ended up coming up with, and this is very unfortunate, was the Help America Vote Act. And this is interesting because Karl Rove immediately jumped on it and supported it. And that should have been a warning sign right there that maybe it's not a good thing. Maybe we should look deeper into this. But it didn't happen. They passed the Help America Vote Act, you know, which really opened the door for the electronic voting stations. And, you know, it's one of the things that opened the door for them. What it primarily did is it produced a new ballot. It's called a provisional ballot. Now, what a provisional ballot is instead of going through and purging your ineligibles from your voter registration list, what they would do is they would give people that perhaps were on a purge list a provisional ballot. In other words, when they checked in at the polling station, they looked up on the on their list to verify that their name was on the list, and they would see that their perhaps on the voter purge list or whatever, and they would receive a provisional ballot. Now, the provisional ballots, what was to be done with those is after the election, those provisional ballots were gone through and they were verified against eligibility requirements. So in other words, it was the voter purge list verification was moved from before the election to after the election. And of course, the opportunity to engage in fraud here was actually not diminished, but it was actually enhanced by this. And actually, that's really what happened in 2004. The number, those 3.5 million, 3.6 million votes that were not counted, a lot of those were because of the provisional ballots. So we need to get rid of that act. We actually need to have that repealed or at least modified. But, you know, the thing is, it's going to happen again. Like I said, it's already happening again. Just stay tuned. Go do some research on the internet as far as election fraud. You're going to be amazed at how much stuff you're going to find out here. You're going to be amazed at how much concrete evidence, video evidence of what's happening. There was a whistleblower that came forward in Florida. He worked for the Yang Corporation. I believe his name was Clint Curtis. He came forward. He said that he was approached, and he was a programmer at Yang Corporation who provided the voting software, I guess, the voting tabulation software. And he said he was approached by Tom Feeney, who at the time was Speaker of the House of the state of Florida. And he was approached and by Mr. Feeney and asked to write some software that would flip votes. And of course he was, you know, curious about this. I'm not going to go into all the details here, but you know, subsequently he did. There again, he did mention it to his superiors, and they, you know, they told him they don't worry about it. And you know, bottom line is they produced it. He became a whistleblower, and the law enforcement people that he talked to essentially said, you know, oh, don't worry about it. There's nothing to it. Da, da, da. So we never really got anybody to look into it from a criminal aspect until a guy named Raymond Lemmy. He was an investigator with the Florida Department of Transportation, and actually he opened his investigation unofficially because I guess he wasn't given the green light to do it, you know, on the job. So, but he saw there was something to this story. So he started investigating this really like after hours, and he monitored Mr. Stone, Clint, I believe it was Clint Stone, and to ascertain whether this guy was a nut or what. And he uncovered the truth. And there's some interviews with Mr. Stone out here where he talks about it. And he said, I guess one of the final ones was he said that Mr. Lemmy had told him that that he had finished with his investigation. He said that you're going to be very happy with it. I'm gonna have it all pulled together in about 2 weeks, and he said I think you're going to be very, very pleased with it. And he also was talking about how it went very high, and it went to the Bushes. He goes not only Jeb Bush, but it goes up to George Bush. Well, 2 weeks after that, a week after that particular interview, Mr. Lemmy turned up dead in a Georgia hotel room, and supposedly it was suicide. And it's what's funny is that there was, according to the investigation, there were no photos taken of the hotel room, whatever. But the photos have surfaced, and you know, the forensic report said that there was no outwardly indication of bodily harm and da 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 whatever. But if you look at the photos, and it is Mr. Lemmy, you can see his enough of his face to say it is him. He was there's a lot of blood on him, and the police report versus the pictures do not add up at all. So anyway, you can go look at that. But the bottom line is this guy was taken out because he was about to uncover this election fraud, and he had evidence that tied this back up to George Bush. So, and like I say, if you're up to speed on the Bushes and that the whole Bush clan, they're pretty nasty. They're pretty nasty. And if you're up on those guys and you hear stuff like this and read where somebody's been assassinated, you're not really going to be that surprised, because it's not uncommon. So anyway, everybody be aware of the election fraud. Do what you can to prevent it. If you see something, say something. And, you know, like I said, we got to get this stuff stopped. So, all right, appreciate you joining in.